Opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby don't like anything I do. My teacher seems to feel the same way.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at KFARradio.com. Today is a Wednesday. For my guest, if you want to call in, have a question for him, it's at 907-458-8255. That's 907-458-TALK. And today I have in the studio with me Bob Pristash. He is the city engineer for the city of Fairbanks. Bob, good morning. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you for the invite on the radio show.
Yeah, how long have you been down there at the city? I mean, you're old as dirt or just, you know, a newbie?
Old as dirt. No, I was surprised to look that March I'll be there 35 years.
Wow. I remember when I met you when we were putting the water system and road system in over at the Chena Landings.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a millennia ago.
It seems like it, but then again, it doesn't.
Well, when you hang around with me, I bring into some unique stuff. And we have the Polaris building, and you've been going around and giving everyone updates on the Polaris building, where we're at, how it's going, projected schedules, items that have come up, things like that. And you had a very good article in today's paper. So just give everyone, in your own time frame, in your own words, an update where we're at and how it's going.
Well, you know, I just like to say there's been a lot of work done on this project, you know, by the Polaris Working Group before I got involved here in the last few months. You know, the meetings and the effort that those people did, I don't think we'd be as far ahead as if that work wasn't done. But really, as the engineer, I can't do anything, and there's nothing I can do until we get the funding. And so I really didn't get involved and put a real point on the effort until the earmark came through from Senator Murkowski's office. And once it looked like we were really going to get that money, I said, okay, my focus now is to secure the funding, and then after this funding is secured or concurrently with the funding, is to produce a contract that does the demo. I want to protect the owner. I want to protect the citizens. I want to have access to businesses as much as possible, and then take it down at the least cost. So to get to that point,
securing the funding has been unique for you.
Yeah, it's federal funding, and being federal funding, you have to take into account the National Environmental Policy Act, and you have to take into account the National Historic Preservation Act. Those two laws have to be met before you can spend federal money.
It seemed like, you know, through the process, this was something the EPA had never participated in before, a project like this.
Yeah, it became somewhat of the people at the EPA that we're dealing with normally deal with contaminated sites is what the Polaris really is. And they're not necessarily, like I said, the National Environmental Policy Act. Everybody knows that as the NEPA. They're not really NEPA, the NEPA group. They're the contaminated sites group. So, it was a little new for them, but they actually stepped up and they did a great job. EPA was great to deal with.
Yeah. I remember a couple weeks ago walking out of a meeting with you. And I even asked you, was that really the EPA? they're releasing the Kraken. They're taking off the restrictions.
The Zoom meetings made a big difference too. You know, part of the pandemic, an outcome of that thing was there was a lot of face-to-face meetings directly with the federal government, directly with EPA, and I think that we made our case in that. That moved things along pretty quickly.
So you know, I remember going through this with you, and from the beginning, we got a $200,000 brownfield survey award from the EPA, and then they contracted with a environmental company to go into the Polaris building. I think that was 2017, and they produced a 750-page report with locations, amounts, costs, and we're looking at about a $2.3 million cleanup at that time. And so, you know, the EPA, they were the ones who directed on how it was going to be done or the scope of work. And then I walk into your office in June, and you have the environmental consultants on, and you're all talking about a new contamination that was found.
Right.
And my temperament came out a little bit. And I said, now let me get this straight. We just had a 750-page report, and no one looked for PCBs. And your answer was, well, the scope of work by the EPA on that was done, they did not put in there look for PCBs. So explain to everyone what a PCB is and where it's at in the building.
Yes, polychlorinated biphenyl. The scope of the investigation of the building was limited, and it probably shouldn't have been limited, and I'm not sure why it was. But the PCB is in the paint, and it's in the paint that is on the outside of the building. And so, you know, it's a very durable paint, although it's flaking off now, but it's still embedded and saturated into the first quarter inch or so of the concrete.
32nd to a 16th of an inch of the concrete, yeah. It's leached in.
It's leached in. And to remove it, you know, with some ideas of maybe high-pressure wash at 5,000 PSI, what would you do with the material? To grind it off, you'd produce dust.
We've gone through this about every way you can try and remove this without tearing down the building, but basically you have to tear down the building.
Yeah, what everybody else is doing, the military out on the base, they're shipping the concrete out with the paint on it. Because there's no landfills in Alaska that can or that are certified to take the PCB.
There, you know, I had a right after this came up, I had a conversation with the commissioner of Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation, and he said, you know, about 6 months ago, he went from one person writing the EPA licensing to do it to seven, and he should have it available in about 2 years. And then once it's available to do in the state of Alaska, then they'll go out for people to do it, such as the Otna, Doyon, the, you know, large landholders. And then that's a two-year program. So he said in 4 to 5 years, we will have a location in Alaska where you can put this. And I looked at him and said, well, that ain't going to help me on this building. He goes, no, it's not.
Yeah. That's it. Right now, you know, the private landfill operators, it doesn't seem to be a profitable business model.
No, and they can't accept it.
Right.
So, and we've asked.
Yes.
We've looked.
Yeah, we looked, you know, I've had a conversation with John Reeves as a landfill, and of course the borough, they can't take it for sure, and to reconstruct the landfill to handle the PCBs really is not profitable.
So basically we're taking apart the exterior shell of the building, concrete and brick, or poured concrete and steel, and that part that's exterior paint, we ship out to Idaho, Oregon, someplace like that.
Some landfill.
It is shipped out.
The most efficient one,
yeah.
Which would probably be, you know, something where means and methods at a contractor that we eventually get. But we'll know something about it. But, yeah, it has to be shipped out of state. Unfortunately.
Yeah, you know, so, you know, the only thing that, you know, other than that we didn't anticipate was the foundation, the basement next to the annex building, the first floor portion, which is Lavelle's Tap House has a basement, the old Frontier Sporting Goods building.
Yes.
We never anticipated what could happen there, but as you were explaining to me about a week ago, when we remove everything, when we remove the concrete in the basement, you're going to backfill it. And if we backfill it and they don't have a structured basement wall, we're going to collapse that wall.
Yeah. The you know, I really divide the demo into two parts. The annex, which is the single story, and then the tower, which is, you know, 11 stories. The annex shares, not maybe shares a wall, but it does have a basement, and so does the building right next to it where the tap house is.
You know, Fairbanks, it's funnier, heck, you know, poor Bob, working with me on this, poor Bob. You know, every time we go a foot forward, we have to go half a step back, and he comes running up to me with this. The last one was the State Historical Preservation Office. And, you know, oh, my God, you know, we can't do anything until that's taken care of. And I looked at him, I said, hey, I've had this for 6 years. You've had it for 6 months. Don't come crying to me. Sorry, buddy.
I think it's a good project. I wouldn't have any other way.
So. I know. Either way. Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You listen to KFR Radio. If you have a question for Bob Pristash, Engineer City of Fairbanks, we're at 907-458-TALK. 907-458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
What's better than Black Friday or Cyber Monday? The annual on-air radio holiday auction, of course. Proudly sponsored by Satellite West, Saturday, November 19th on KFAR Radio and streaming live on kfarradio.com. The 2022 holiday on-air radio auction, statewide, powered by Satellite West. From Fairbanks, Wasilla, to Anchorage, and all the way to Homer and Kodiak, it's time to get all of your Christmas shopping done now. We have hundreds of great offers in this year's statewide holiday auction. It's all online at alaskaradioauction.com. Without the lines or the hassles, you can preview the instant items that will be available Saturday. Check out the auction items right now at alaskaradioauction.com and keep checking as we'll be adding new items every day. You can also place bids on big ticket items right now. Get your Christmas shopping done early this year with great deals from our on-air radio holiday auction this Saturday, November 19th on KFAR Radio, starting at 10 a.m. Proudly sponsored by Satellite West.
November is the time when you really start to feel the pain of your home's bad windows, which makes it the ideal time for Renewal by Andersons' Countdown to Black Friday window sale. This is Chris Dunn, the local owner. Our window sale is going on now and ends on Black Friday, and it's our biggest dollar discount of the entire year. Save 20% on every window and patio door, plus save $250 off your project with zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for 2 years. Renewal by Andersons' Countdown to Black Friday window sale ends on Black Friday. Save 20% on every window and patio door, plus save $250 off your project with zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for 2 years. Don't miss Renewal by Andersons' Countdown to Black Friday window sale, our biggest dollar discount of the year. Call before November 25th. 885-3100. 885-3100. That's 885-3100.
Weather brought to you by GCR. Find Bridgestone and Cooper tires for every car, truck, motorhome, and SUV you drive. Everything you tow. GCR tires and service. The Tire Guys. Taming the Alaskan Road. Van Horn at Cushman.
KFAR. Weather.
Mainly sunny skies and calm today with highs around 13. Westerly winds around 5 miles per hour. Clear skies tonight. Lows dip down to about 0. Highs around 14. Tomorrow, mainly clear skies. Temps above average Friday and Saturday with highs in the upper teens. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. Bob Pristash in the studio with me here. Now, actually, Bob has the largest pigeon coop in Fairbanks, don't you, Bob?
Yeah, I guess you know, when we compensate the residents for the loss of the historic property, the pigeons will have to take the fall for that.
There you go. Now, that's a, you know, you look at the building and you walk around it and you have signs on it that says, you know, dangerous building, highly contaminated. You know, basically step back away from the building. Then the north side of the building, on the courthouse side, from the plans and specs, they didn't build it to the plans and specs. there's a, you know, the, they have these great big window openings that are there on the ground floor. So you've lost structural integrity there. So if there's a big earthquake, that's a site it's coming down on going towards the courthouse.
Yeah, this, and I've been in the building many times, and I've been up to the roof. You know, there's trees growing on the roof. The way to think could collapse if there was an earthquake, it could be from the bottom or it could be from the top.
Yeah.
You know, like 9/11, you know, when the airplane hit the towers, the floors collapsed on the floors below, and that extra weight forced the other floors to collapse, and it came down in dominoes. We don't really know the failure mechanism of the building, but we do know it's not strong enough to stay put for long.
It's a 70-year-old building.
Yeah. And it's corroded.
Yeah.
And the steel is corroded and exposed.
Yeah.
It's been flooded. The basement's been filled with water 8 feet deep. I mean, the roof is, like I said, it's got trees growing on it. It's saturated. It's in poor shape.
That's a polite way to describe it, a very good descriptive adjective. Poor shape. Okay, I got to remember that. It's in poor shape.
Yeah, we made the case to EPA. In a work plan we had to submit, that it was really an attractive nuisance too, and not just the danger of the building collapsing because it's not structurally sound, but it's hard to keep people out of it, and it's a matter of time before somebody could get hurt in that building.
Yeah, it is, and you know, it's been a great history for Fairbanks. It really has, and there's been a, you know, a group of people who just want to keep that building here. And maybe even make it a vertical
garden.
Yeah, and
I've heard that too. Yeah,
and you just take a look at it, and oh my goodness, it's. Go ahead.
Well, I'm sorry, but you know, you can do anything with enough money, obviously, but it's not
economically feasible.
It's not economically feasible because there's so many code violations in the building, other than just the idea turned into a vertical garden. Okay, but. But still, you still got the structural problems. You got all the code violations. It's really beyond the point. It's way beyond its design life. It's beyond the point established from a business method. And so there's really no alternative but to tear it down, just like a lot of buildings.
Yeah. So the plan for tearing it down is the annex first, which is on 2nd Avenue, the first floor part. It's a 16,500-square-foot site, 100% covered. And you have the area of the what we'll call the tower.
Tower.
That's about 9,000 square feet per floor, mm-hmm. And then the annex itself is about 8,000 square feet, mm-hmm. approximately, with a basement.
Oh, right. The idea is to phase the construction. Hopefully this winter, if the funding comes through, which it seems like it can happen at any day.
Any day now, yeah.
Any day, right. You know, with the ship of concurrence, taking the annex down first, you know, gives local contractors a chance to bid on it. It does it in the wintertime when tourism isn't less of a problem. It provides a staging area also to take the tower down later on. And we'll probably learn something too, taking the annex down, you know, issues that come up. You always learn something during the construction.
True. It, boy, just, we're almost there. The only, let's go back to the State Historic Preservation Office, SHPO.
Right. The, like I said, the National Historic Preservation Act is a law you have to abide by when you're going to spend federal money. And that required that each state set up a state historic preservation office, and everybody knows that is SHPO. Well, back in 2008, the previous owner, Mark Marlowe,
mm-hmm.
he made application to the SHPO office because he was looking money for a grant that the Polaris building was a historic property. You know, one of SHPO's functions is to create a list of national, a register of national places. So he thought it'd be a good idea to give SHPO the information that showed it was historic property, and they concurred that it never got put on the list, but it is a historic property. And so that required a letter of adverse effect to be written from the city to SHPO, and that's been done. And then after the letter of adverse effect, because of the historic property, the city really has to come up with a compensation agreement to SHPO to compensate the residents for the loss of the historic property.
And you found out about this, what, about 3 weeks ago?
Or less, really. But
last week? Yeah.
And
I mean, you've been working on this funding for how long? And then this was thrown at you.
Well, yeah, but I guess I should have, I guess we should have known it, but.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course we should have known that.
It doesn't seem, you know, to me, you know, I understand what they're saying is where it's like wetlands. If you fill in the wetlands, let's say for a city snow dump, and then you create wetlands somewhere else, so there's no net loss. So they're saying there's no net loss in the historic properties in town, which I can understand, and that's the spirit of this. But
yeah,
with the Polaris building, it's a little bit of a stretch, but we're there. We're working it.
You know, it was interesting yesterday when you were having this discussion with the Downtown Association. Kellen Spillman, the head of the planning and zoning at the Fairbanks North Star Borough, great guy, and he had three or four of his staff there to get an update too. But as soon as we were done with that meeting, he was coming up to us, if you need anything from us on our historic preservation offices here. Well, he was going back already to his office to write a letter saying this has no positive value. I mean, he was right on it for you.
Yes, right. Yeah, and if we have to use that, we will.
Yeah.
We've submitted to SHPO our draft compensation agreement.
Which is? Let's have a plaque and a brick.
Well, it's they sent us some examples of other structures similar to this, and you know, we're suggesting photography being done with dates and, you know, different phases of the building, and done according to their standards, and then also a plaque probably at City Hall, and
I can approve that.
That's our. You know, that's our suggestion. We'll see what they say.
Boy, going through this, what most of Fairbanks don't understand, but's on the horizon, is the buildings downtown of similar age and vintage use the same style paint. And when those buildings are supposed to come down, here it is. The most expensive part, one of the most expensive components, will be shipping of the concrete south. And hopefully by then we'll have in-state.
Yeah.
You know, the federal government out of 408 right there, you know, unlimited budget. Let's just get this done.
Yeah.
We don't have that.
Yeah, it would be good, and it's probably just a matter of time before that kind of landfill is developed.
Yeah. It does get interesting, very much so. Now, you're already working on the RFPs, request for proposals, on basically both the annex and the tower.
Yeah, we're we really couldn't spend our resources, city resources, and expect to get reimbursed by the earmark until we actually got it. But we didn't really want to wait, so we actually. Got a city budget amendment for $50,000 to hire a consultant to help us with this. And there was also some DEC money that was available to consultants for contaminated sites. So it's kind of been a creative funding source so far at this point to keep the RFP moving concurrently with actually getting the funding from the federal government through the NEPA and the SHPO processes.
So it's... You know, basically, every entity out there is stepping up to help us when it comes down to it.
I would say there's nobody that is not working as fast as or hard as they can to help us with this, and it's been very refreshing.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. I'm going to leave you some bumper music, Boston Foreplay, and again, I do not pick this music. And then we're going to give you some Fox News, some state news, some commercials, some weather, and we'll be back.
Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Senator Mitch McConnell is reelected as Republican Minority Leader. He survived a challenge by Senator Rick Scott after GOP midterm failures. A car that struck 22 Los Angeles County Sheriff's recruits who were out on a training mission early this morning was traveling on the wrong side of the road. Injuries range from minor to critical.
These young people are getting ready to go put themselves in the line of danger in their career. And who knows that while you're training to do that, you are actually in harm's way.
LA Fire Captain Sheila Kelleher. A busload of migrants from the southern border has arrived in Philadelphia.
It is sad and outrageous that Governor Abbott and his administration continue to implement their cruel and racist policies.
Philly Mayor Jim Kenney says the migrants will be welcome in his city. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
The Fairbanks Daily News Minor reports attorney generals in 40 states, including Alaska, have pressured Google to disclose more about its location tracking practices in what is described as one of the largest multi-state privacy settlements in history. Big tech companies must be transparent about how they collect and use consumers' data so that consumers can make informed decisions, Alaska's attorney general, Treg Taylor, said in a prepared statement. The settlement shows that when companies mislead consumers about how their personal information is collected and used, they will be held accountable. The Alaska Department of Law announced the settlement on Tuesday. Google is one of the most valuable companies in the world, with revenues last year of $257 billion, mostly from advertising. The tech giant has agreed to pay $391.5 million to the 50 states and will be revamping user information hubs. Alaska will receive $1.5 million from the internet giant. The money will be deposited in the state treasury and will be available to the legislature for appropriation, according to Patty Sullivan, spokeswoman for the Alaska Department of Law.
Online at KFAR660.com.
I'm John Washington, and I want to be elected as your...
If you had Milwaukee, DeWalt, or Makita cordless tools from Denali Industrial, you could have ignored the political commercials and been building something. Let's get back to helping neighbors with projects around their house. Or asking a neighbor not about their political beliefs, but if they have an extra 10-millimeter socket because you've lost yours. Ask your neighbor, your fellow Fairbanks, and your fellow American if they'd like to take a ride with you to Denali Industrial, 1499 Van Horn Road.
Freeze your fat away without surgery or downtime with Cool Sculpting, an FDA-approved, non-surgical, cool way to treat muffin top, belly fat, bra, leg, and chin fat. The only Cool Sculpting in Interior Alaska is Solstice Medicine and Wellness. From your chin to your legs, don't just fight the fat, freeze it. Cool Sculpting makes fitting into your favorite fashions an attainable goal. You owe it to yourself to look your best. Call for your free consultation. Call Solstice Medicine and Wellness, 907-456-6334. 907-456-6334.
This is Pete at the Fairbanks Rescue Mission with a story of a courageous man and a wonderful family that is now part of our community. Doug was living in a tough neighborhood down south. He had already raised a family, but one day he met a neighbor carrying an infant, complaining about her disastrous life. Sensing there was a problem, Doug asked a simple question: "Why don't you give me that baby?" Initially, she scoffed, but later she appeared at Doug's door and asked if he could watch the baby for a while. 3 months later, she returned. Over time, the pattern continued, but eventually she showed up with another baby. Doug and his wife knew exactly what to do, and eventually they adopted both sisters. But the story doesn't end there. If you want to know more about the family's escape from a crime-ridden city and how your rescue mission was able to help them settle here, you need to stay tuned to this station or visit FairbanksRescueMission.org, where we encourage you to give where you live. FairbanksRescueMission.org. Please give where you live.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Bob Pristash, engineer, City of Fairbanks, in the studio with me, who Mayor Matherly tasked him with bringing down the Polaris building. I got you the money. If I have to, I'll get you more money, but you are bringing that thing down, sir, and you've been doing an admirable job since, because it's not what you know, it's what's thrown in front of you to get back on the right process.
Yeah, I've got a great staff. You know, I can't do it all by myself, obviously, and they're willing to put the time in, and we've got great consultants.
Yeah.
Nortec is working with us. Respect. That used to be PDC.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're
structural.
I've worked with those people before. You know, they're all good. All the firms are good.
So you're not out there. You're not out there giving out contracts for theoretical stuff. You're giving out. These people are helping us with our RFP, our design, because the more information you have that you can give a person who's going to take down this building, the tighter their price will be.
Yeah. That's you know, again, at the beginning, and I said we got to maintain access. You know, we got to protect the owner, the city, and the residents, and then we have to do it for the most efficient, cost-effective way we can, because we don't have all the money. We don't have all the resources in the world.
Yeah.
And then with this group, with this team, you know, we're putting together an RFP, and I said, if we do the annex first, we'll learn a lot, and then concurrently we're working on the RFP to take the tower down, and I think that'll be a specialty contractor. You know, when I go to New York City or when I go to Seattle or wherever I'm at, I see buildings being taken down that are a whole lot harder to take this one down. This isn't the first time this has been
done. Is pinhole in this state.
Yeah. So, it'll come around. It'll come around.
Hmm. Well, you have that, and you also have, you know, Perry Wally can't wait for you to do the Fifth Avenue.
No, don't bring up Fifth Avenue.
Oh, okay. Don't bring it up.
Well, yeah, you know,
You have other tasks that you're going to be working over the next few years.
Yeah, Fifth Avenue is.
Isn't there something on Fourth Avenue too in the future?
Yeah, Fourth Avenue. The city nominated Fourth Avenue, and it scored the highest of the nominated projects. And it's to replace everything on Fourth Avenue, reconstructed from Barnett to Cowles. It's pretty bad shape.
Yeah.
Bad drainage, sidewalks. Not
thin,
not
thin, thin areas, thin roads. Yeah,
it's
that's original Fairbanks.
Yeah. And so we're looking at that now too.
And Mini Street one day.
Mini Street, yeah. Mini Street is, as far as city engineering, we have Fifth Avenue, Cowles, Mini Street,
Lacey Street one day.
Yeah, Lacey Street one day. Mm-hmm. And. Mini Street has got the limited right-of-way, 40-foot right-of-way.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. But we got a plan for that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you ever think you'd be bringing down a building that was basically the highest contaminated site in the city limits and be in charge of that?
Well, again, you know, I've got a...
I'm just asking the question.
Yeah, it's I like it. I think it's a great thing to do.
Engineers, I need the problem. I need the problem.
It has to be done.
Yes, it does.
And I'm glad I'm involved.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
You know, think about that. You're writing the book on how to get it done.
But no, I'm gonna
you're
not,
persevering through this process.
Yeah, it's been done before. I'm gonna try to not reinvent the wheel any more than I have to.
Oh boy. When are you anticipating putting out an RFP on this?
For the annex. Yeah, for the annex.
December?
I would say I could give you a date in December, but as soon as we figure out the lack of lateral support between the adjacent lot.
Yeah.
You know, that's the last problem. You know, once we get the funding.
Lavelle's Tap House building.
Yeah, the old Tap House building. Once we figure that out, I don't think there's much stopping us. We know how far we can go with the annex removal to the tower. We know it's not totally... we figured out how it's attached to it,
and that item came up 2 weeks ago, as I recall.
and so you know that is the one of the last things that I can see at this point that we got to resolve. We understand we're going to take the contamination out of the building, the friable and non-friable asbestos, the PCB that is in the annex is a whole lot less tonnage than the tower, of course. We remove all that first, and then we remove the rest of the building as non-hazardous waste that can go to the landfill.
And we do that in the winter, so it's not interrupting the summer tourist season.
Well, that's the idea.
That's the theory.
That's what I want. I don't want to delay anything. I want to try to move forward as fast as we can. If we run into a stumbling block that delays us, okay, but we're not going to get slowed down easily.
Now, what most people have to understand is you're taking down a 97,000-square-foot building that's 11 stories tall within 6 inches of other buildings.
Yeah.
Like and how careful... you have to be for those other buildings, because these are Fairbanksons. We are not going to be trying to cause damage to their building, trying to anyway. Try and give as much, as little business interruption as possible, because we know these people.
That is the goal. And so when we write the request for proposal to take the tower down, we're going to have restrictions in there.
Yeah,
sure.
Which will make it more expensive.
But we really have to count on the specialty contractor to give us a plan that we approve.
Yeah.
We're going to have...
Which we will be sharing with the adjacent property owners, getting their input, making sure they know it.
Yeah, everybody, it'd be totally transparent. We'll try to, when we do the advertisement, we're going to have a very large insurance policy requirement, right?
Yeah.
And then that's going to eliminate some contractors, because no insurance company is just going to give any contractor the insurance policy we're going to ask for. And then there's also going to be a performance bond. So if they get halfway through, there'll be plenty of money to pick another contractor to pick up where they left
off. In case they start going bankrupt
Right. So we're going to have those kind of things. Now, I realize that doesn't address some people's concern of, you know, hazardous waste and whatnot, but we're doing everything according to all regulations as much as we...
And what I hope people realize is, because we are doing it, because we are leading this, we are taking a lot more time and critical effort to make sure that we can do it as least intrusive as possible to the neighbors. I mean, it's going to be intrusive. You're bringing down an 11-story, 97,000-square-foot building on a 16,500-square-foot footprint that's within 6 inches of other buildings that were built in the 50s.
Yeah. Like I said, I think, you know, with a specialty contractor, this kind of work's been done before. There's ways to do it. But there is going to have to be a work zone.
Yeah.
Like any project, you have the actual area where the work is being done, but then you have a safety zone or a work zone that's going to be provided. And how big that work zone really is to demo the tower, I honestly don't know, but I can see being within 2 inches of it is not, it's not far enough away.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah.
You know, oh, sorry for flipping a coin off the building. It goes out 4 feet.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I think they're probably going to deconstruct the building from the roof down.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll be imploded or anything like that, most likely. But then again, I really don't know. But with the contamination on the outside, that would generate a lot of dust. I don't see that happening. I see it being taken down like the other PCB-painted buildings. They've been taken apart and shipped out.
You know, a couple of years ago, I came across this unit out at Fort Wainwright. And they're you know, they produce big explosion-type things. Mm-hmm. And they're saying, we could do that for you. I'm going, no. Thank you, but no. You know, the courthouse likes their Italian marble, you know, and then we do use the parking garage. And, you know, I saw Alice in Wonderland and a lot of Disney movies at the Lacey Street Theater. And, you know, used to get my fishing license and baseball stuff and hunting and fishing gear at the Frontier Sporting Goods.
Yep,
so
yep.
We have to save the surrounding buildings. Mm-hmm. We all have history with them. Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Hello, this is Ward Mertes. After more than 30 years helping injured Alaskans, I'm retiring. Lori, the MLO staff, and I are grateful most Alaskans have listened and responded by slowing down behind the wheel, making our roads safer for all Alaskans and not needing our help. I'm counting on you to continue. Slow down, Alaska. Our family's health and safety is worth far more than saving a few minutes behind the wheel. Though I'm no longer an attorney, our phone will still ring, we will still answer, and we will still listen. We will continue pointing injured Alaskans toward the right attorneys at no charge to you. And while we hope you never need an attorney referral, we're here if you you do.
Your holiday party guest just voted you Entertainer of the Year. And Gavora's Fine Wine saved you a ton of cash on wine. Gavora's Thanksgiving Wine Sale starts tomorrow, Thursday the 17th. You'll save up to 50% off over 600 different wines, champagnes, reds, whites, and sparkling. This year, treat your friends, family, and holiday party guests to some spectacular wines and save up to 50% off. It's Gavora's Fine Wine's Thanksgiving Wine Sale. Gavora's Fine Wine, open every day in the Gavora Mall.
Don't miss Fairbanks Foodies every Saturday at 5:30 on KFAR Radio with your host, David Pruse, discussing everything food in Fairbanks, from awesome recipes to all of your favorite local restaurants. Brought to you by Bobby's Downtown, Quality Food Sales, Hoodoo Brewery, and the Fairbanks Community Food Bank. Don't miss Fairbanks Foodies and go to the archives page of KFARradio.com to listen to any past episodes. Fairbanks Foodies, Saturdays at 5:30 on KFAR Radio and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Hello, I'm William Shatner. Blood Bank of Alaska. As the sole blood and blood product provider in the state of Alaska, BBA provides blood products to virtually every hospital in the state, including all tribal and military medical facilities. We ask that you donate today. Your blood or platelet donation can save your fellow Alaskan's life.
This message brought to you by the radio station 529 Fifth Avenue.
Weather This Hour brought to you by Long Building Technologies. Make your building the smartest around. Call Long today to find out about their building intelligence systems that will save you money. 561-3044. Or find out more at long.com.
KFAR Weather.
Mainly sunny skies and calm. Today with highs around 13. Winds out of the west around 5 miles per hour. Clear skies tonight, lows around zero. High temperatures reach up to 14 tomorrow, lots of sunshine. Dry with temps above average, Friday and Saturday, and highs in the upper teens. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Bob Pristash, the city engineer for the city of Fairbanks, who is in charge of destructing the Polaris building, a 70-year-old feature structure in the heart of downtown. And, you know, it's just, there's been so many, over the 7 years I've been working on this now, it's not that I can taste it. I can see it. I can feel it. We're getting there. And the SHPO issue, you know, the previous owner, he goes out there trying to get tax credits in any way, shape, or form. So let's see if this fits. I don't even think it's on the State Historical Register. It's just he just put in paperwork about it.
Yeah, it's not on, you know, the National Register of Historic Places. I confirmed that with SHPO. But it does qualify to be on the list, but it would never made it to the list, and that's I don't know exactly why it was stopped short of that, but because it's there, it required a letter of adverse effect from the city, and that was a letter that we had to generate from the city, and you know, with the help of our consultant Nortec, to make the case to SHPO, yes, it's an adverse effect, and that the city is going to try to mitigate that, and with the next document, which would be the compensation agreement that we just submitted also.
We've put in all of our paperwork.
We have, and a lot of it's been approved, and the most recent one is this the compensation agreement to SHPO. It's a memorandum of understanding, a memorandum agreement.
That they have to accept.
We've drafted it. We sent it to them as a draft, and we're going to work it back and forth. They have 30 days to respond, but
be back in a week.
No, they've been really great. SHPO has been great to work with, and
Better be back in a week.
They have it, and I'm sure we'll work it out and come to some kind of agreement shortly. That would be the last piece.
I just don't have the patience after 7 years for such frivolity.
Well, it's
blockages.
It's the national, it's the law. It's the federal law. You know, those two acts I mentioned, you know, the It's
darn that federal law stuff.
It's environmental regulation, and it's where the federal money comes from. You can't spend federal money without doing this. So, you know, we'll get through it. And everybody's being reasonable. Everybody understands. Yeah. They got to cross the T's.
That is true.
So we're just following the process, and we'll get
through it. And it's under rapid.
Yeah, everybody's been working very quickly on this. There's no delays of any kind.
Yeah. You know, I think they were surprised that, oh, by the way, we're involved in this now? Oh, God.
they're paying attention.
Yeah.
Paying attention.
Hmm.
So, you know, you were asking about the deconstruction or the tearing down of the annex in December. And I really think that's very possible.
Well, January, February is what, you know, put out the RFP in December.
Yeah, we can advertise for 21 days. We could actually shorten it to 14 if we wanted to.
No need to do that.
Yeah, and it just depends on, you know, if there's an addendum.
Yeah.
You know, we can advertise for 14 days. We get questions from the bidders who were very smart, and they see something that we missed. We extend the question. Extend the date, you know, for the requirement to open the bids. And, you know, I can see the traffic control that's going to be required there, probably closing parts of Lacey between 1st and 2nd Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
The removal of the hazardous materials in the annex, they would be friable asbestos, non-friable asbestos. Friable asbestos is the stuff that can turn into a powder and get into the air. Of course, the PCBs, there's some in the annex.
And then oh, really?
And there's refrigeration units.
Oh, you got glycol.
And got glycol in there. So we'll pull those out, you know, and that'll probably take longer.
Is there any mummified pigeons or any endangered? Is there an endangered species we have to worry about?
There's pigeon dung, yeah. What do you call that?
Fecal matter.
Yeah. That's there, and, you know, and there's mold, you know, things like that. But we'll take all that out first, get that all done. And then the actual deconstruction, the ripping of the annex down with excavators and loading it out won't take as long as the removal of the hazardous material inside there.
Because then he's going with backhoes.
Yeah.
And knock it down.
Yeah, the excavator, really.
Yeah.
And put it into side dumps. Yeah.
And this is how you spent your winter vacation. The slow time.
What vacation?
I know.
Yeah.
Well, don't ask me about vacation. You know, we have qualified times for you to do that, but not until this is done.
Yeah, I seen a newspaper article.
Oh, yeah.
At today's paper, and there was on page 6 where it said the tipping fees were limited to $1.5 million. It's really not limited to $1.5 million. The borough is going to waive $1.5 million of the tipping fees. So it's not limited to that.
Ready for a phone call?
Yeah, you bet.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
This is Mel.
Hello, Mel.
I'm personally calling at the end of the show because I don't want to be so off topic, although I would say that, you know, this historical monument or historical building thing, I think, is utterly unworth pursuing. But anyway, you know. Since it's the city engineer, I would like to ask you, again, not on this topic, but you're certainly involved in the reroute of the impending truck traffic from the mine down by Tok. Going, you know,
No, he's not. No, we're not involved in that at all.
The city, isn't it? It's going down Pager Road.
Well, it goes through Mitch. Their proposed route is Mitchell, right on Pegger, right on Johansson, left on the Steese Expressway. And those are all state-maintained highways, so it's not really on a city street.
Well, I'd like to, in case he has an opinion on the project, I'd like to hear it. I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, I don't think, the rate of the trucks that are coming through, I'm not sure that has actually been defined. I've heard different rates that the trucks are coming through, and the size of the trucks, I still don't think that's defined. You know, the capacity of a road isn't determined by the tangent. It's determined by the intersections. And any delay at the intersection caused by these trucks, you know, that causes people to go different directions. So, you know, these trucks could send more traffic through city streets and not just on the DOD streets. I think there is a traffic study being done by the DOT, and I think there's a traffic study being done by Fast Planning right now, or they've decided to make one. I mean, that probably makes more sense to me to do one traffic study and not two, and wait for that traffic study to be done, and let's see the results so we get some more of this quantitative information and not just qualitative thinking that it's not such a good idea or it's a great idea, but look at the actual capacities, intersections, and see what the results are. The latest thing I saw was noise pollution. I mean, I know that can be an issue because when we elevated a roadway over on Wembley Avenue, that generated a lot of complaints from residents just by raising the road 4 or 5 inches. So we had to put that fence up there. So noise, capacity of intersections, congestion, driving vehicles off the main state roads to city streets. I mean, these are all things that have to be looked at, and I think these traffic analysis will help us make a better determination.
There you go. Yeah. That's a quite volatile topic. And my thought is, well, borough status is mainly you, because it's not hitting a city-maintained road or where there's a bus stop or anything like that.
Right, yeah.
Well, Pega Road has public bus stops, but not school bus stops, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, the Pega Road intersection with the Phillips Field Road, everybody who comes from west side of Fairbanks, they're on the Johansson.
Yeah.
They turn off there to get on Pega Road for a short period of time. They take a left on the really substandard road that's Phillips Field Road to get into town, and those trucks are going through that intersection. I can't imagine that's not going to impact the commuter traffic in the morning and in the evening.
So that's why you do the traffic study.
Yeah.
And hopefully they do it wisely, but again, they might be doing two. That's public funding. Oh, so did you ever think you'd be at a point where you're writing an RFP to take down a Polaris building?
Well, you know, we've done just about everything. Inside the right of way, as far as lift station design, you know, 12 feet below the groundwater, streetlight design, you know, storm drains, you know, all the utilities. So, you know, we were involved in the construction of the police station, mm-hmm. and Station 1. We actually managed that. So really, building the buildings and building everything, it just seems like it's the last thing would be to deconstruct this one.
Well, you know, the last big one that was done was probably the Maranatha Inn.
Yeah, that's probably right. Yeah, the last deconstruction I was involved in one was the Masonic.
That was a collapse, yeah.
That was the collapse. They called me on a Sunday, and I was requested to come into town, and the building was falling down, and it was hanging over the church near it.
Yeah.
What do we do? I said, well, let's get two excavators, one to hold the building up so it doesn't fall on the church, and then another one to take it down, and we had to do that.
Yeah, I know the owner quite well, and he was devastated with that. Just, yeah. Man,
yeah,
he loved that building.
Yeah.
But snow loads in Fairbanks, or as the Polaris building is, structural integrity failing.
Yeah, and it the building is good for a while, but it gets loaded, and then some of the support members crack a little.
Yep.
And they deflect, and then there's more loading, and then it cracks some more. So just because it held up, 4 or 5 feet of snow, 10 years ago, doesn't mean it's still sound today.
Very true. Fairbanks, I hope you enjoyed this presentation, and your questions have been answered. We've made a determined effort to get all the information that we can out to the public in regards to the Polaris building project, where it's at and when it may be happening. And it's going to be happening. Just depends on SHPA. Fairbanks, you have a great day. I'll see you on Friday.